Dit is SBS Dutch.
Rob, busy days for you this week. You're involved with the Grand Prix here in Australia.
Absolutely. I'm working at the Grand Prix as we speak. We're just setting up the media centre, and we open the media centre tomorrow at 2 o'clock with a host of international and obviously national media attending the event. And I've been doing this since the first Grand Prix in Melbourne, which was in 1996. And previous to that, I worked on most of the events in Adelaide from 1985.
Yeah, because the Grand Prix Formula One was in Adelaide first.
Certainly, it was in Adelaide from in 1985, and then in 1996, it moved to Melbourne. That's all. The rest is history. Now the event's well entrenched in Melbourne here, and it's one of the highlights of the calendar, I think, for the teams to come from wintry Europe to a the beautiful climate we have here, and particularly the media as well, like coming to Australia. Some years ago, we were the first race in the series, so that generated a lot more interest from media because obviously the teams were unveiling their new liveries and new drivers and all those kinds of things. But we're now the third event. It's kind of gone a little bit down in terms of because the media and the teams have already had a couple of races under their belt. So the interest is not quite there as it was when we were the first event, but hopefully that'll change sometime in the future.
Just to get an idea, how big is the media circus?
Okay, so in terms of the media that I'm involved in, the written press. So we have a media facility for about 300 to 350 people. That's made up of journalists from both international and national. And then there are also photographers that we have about 100 to 120, depending on the level of interest for that particular year. And then we also accommodate here, obviously, some online people that are now, there's a lot more online stuff happening. And we also have journalists and producers from the television broadcasters that have a license to cover the event. So some of their people are also coming to the media centre to gather information. In the media centre itself, we have about 350 total. And also in the media centre, we do press conferences. There's a structure of press conferences over the weekend for the Formula One teams. We also here have Formula Two and Formula Three. So there's some media activity involved with that. And also we have support races, namely our supercars, which are quite unique to Australia. There's a media contingent that follow those around the country and a couple of other support races, over the weekend.
Yeah, it's huge. And all the teams, the media, everyone who is coming from other countries to Melbourne for this event, for this weekend of motorsport. Do you know how many people come?
If we talk about media itself, there's probably about 350 to 400. Then there's the broadcast team. There's probably another 300 there. The actual Formula One teams, there are 10 teams. They've probably got 100 people each. And then there are also the administrative teams from the Fédération Internationale Automobile, the governing body. They would probably be bringing 60 to 70 people. Formula One management itself is probably bringing the similar type of numbers. So you can get an idea. There's thousands of people coming in that are here for the duration. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just told that you started in the 80s, back in the 80s. It was in Adelaide. You must have seen a lot of changes during the
years.
Sure.
Particularly with the technology that's now used. I mean, I can remember back in the 80s, things like faxes were unheard of. So you couldn't even send a fax. We had telex, which was a very old system. We used to hand print the results with Gestetner machines. And nowadays it's all with the push of a button. We're almost paperless now with the distribution of the information, the timing information. That's all done electronically now. All the journalists get the results almost immediately on their computers. That's probably the big change that I've seen in the media side of things. Obviously, there's more information available. And people demand more information, as we talked about offline, about the popularity of the sport now. There are lots of other outlets that are producing reams and reams of material and photographs to keep the sport in front of everybody.
Yeah.
A huge audience now.
Yeah. And do you also notice that in terms of the amount of journalists, we discussed Drive to Survive on Netflix, for example.
Yeah.
I think there are like hundreds of podcasts about Formula One.
Yeah.
Everyone can see it live on the TV now. That must also generate more interest from media.
Yeah, I've got to say that with COVID, when COVID came along, there was a big reset. So pre-COVID, our numbers were very high. During the COVID period, people had to be more inventive about the way they gathered their information. And so a lot of publications worked from their countries. They didn't travel to the races because it was quite difficult to get in and out with the COVID protocols that each country had. And so people found different ways to do things. And I think that it hasn't recovered from that. So the numbers during the COVID period were very low. Post-COVID, it's still quite low. So people have thought, hang on, I don't have to spend $5,000 to travel to Australia. I can do this all online now because that information is available to me. It'd been a little bit different for photographers because photographers need to be on the scene, obviously. So the photographer group has grown, but the journalist side of things has probably dropped off a bit.
How crazy will your days be in the next coming days?
Oh, look. A classical day here would be I start here at about 6:30. We open at 7 because the media need to be here, get organised before their day's activities start. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got the two groups. We've got the journalists and we have the photographers. So during the period when there's no track activity, obviously all the photographers are in here. They're filing their photos, sending stuff out, and the journalists are out gathering information. Once the on-track activity starts, obviously the photographers all go out, take their pictures around the circuit, and the journalists are in here working, watching all, because we have banks of televisions, so they can see the live footage from the track. They have highlight packages come up on the monitors, and also a very comprehensive system for the results and where drivers and cars are placed in the pecking order as they're competing around the circuit for the best times, and also during the race, the actual races, because you've got qualifying, practice, three lots of practice, they're all in here working away. So once the media centre's up and running, they're all in here, they've got their accreditation. Things do tend to quiet down because they're all busy. As I mentioned, the photographers, we need to get them around the circuit, so we have shuttle buses to take them out to the different points where they want to go. And then we bring them all back again so they can do their filing of their pictures that they've just been out taking. So generally it's just a keeping the thing ticking over during the event. Every Formula One race basically has the same format. So what is happening each day on Friday, Saturday and Sunday is quite similar to each event they go to. So they're used to a set program. Yeah. When the press conferences are on, when the race activities are on, and when they have to send their material out, obviously, to their publications. We have a staff of about 20. They need to be fed and watered, these people. They need to be make sure that their internet is working, you know, the air conditioning. There's all those kinds of things that have to be kept going. But generally, once they have their spot and they sit down, they know where they're sitting, they kind of look after themselves pretty much.
Now, your name already disclosed this. You have Dutch background.
Yes.
Are you in trouble when you are at the Grand Prix? I mean, there are two Australian drivers. There's a really good Dutchman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, I have to be careful about my allegiances. But, look, I think it's amazing what all of these drivers do. And I think that Max has been extraordinary and a lot of interest, obviously, around him. There's a huge Dutch contingent that follow Max around to a lot of the races, which is very evident on the television coverage, the orange, and I think it's wonderful. And certainly, he started at a very young age. I mean, we've got even younger drivers popping up in some places now in the Formula One scene. So, but no, he's done an amazing job, and it is nice to see. Yes, being from Dutch descent, absolutely.
How did you end up in Australia? Is it a classic migration story?
Yes, we left. I was born in Naarden, just out of Amsterdam, and then we moved to Australia with the family, my two brothers, my mum and dad. We came here in 1950, and left from Rotterdam on a pretty primitive boat called the Grote Beer, which was an old merchant ship, and through the Suez Canal. I have some memories of that still. I could still remember leaving Rotterdam. And I think my father woke me when we'd come through the Suez Canal at Port Said. The lights, we were out on the deck and all that. Yeah, I have some memories of that. And because I was so young, I was sleeping with my mother in a cabin. My older brother and my father slept down in the hold of the boat, and they were actually just sleeping in hammocks.
Oh.
And I remember some of those things quite vividly, which is amazing.
Yeah, because you were very young.
And we finished up in Fremantle, and, yeah, we kind of did the normal thing. And obviously the concept was to give an opportunity to myself and my two brothers to, kind of carry on and live a different life altogether than what we would have had to have if had we stayed in the home country, probably.
Mm, yeah, and a six-year-old is pretty flexible, right?
Absolutely.
It is what it is. Mum and Dad are going there. I'm going there. That's life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was for us. It's always been the norm. For them, it was probably very traumatic because I don't think either of them saw their parents again. And of course, I didn't have a normal relationship with my grandparents. Obviously, we did that via letters and birthday cards and that kind of thing. But so that was a different experience for me than what, you know, other children would have had with their grandparents close by. But at the end of the day, I finished up working with government, and I've had a good life of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back to the Grand Prix, last question. What makes this job so amazing? Because, people who have maybe done some calculation in their head, I think you could also be enjoying life and not working anymore.
Understand that. But the thing is, the reality is that it's the people that you meet and the people that you work with. And I've got to be honest, there is a bit of excitement. It's a great job. And some people would be quite envious of what I do. But at the end of the day, it's a routine. Each event is the same, but it's different because I only do three races now. I do the one here in Melbourne, obviously, my home event. I do the race in Singapore, and I'm lucky enough to go to Mexico in October. So those three events are totally different, but it's the same process from the work perspective.
Mm.
And you do meet the same people because we're all the media traveling from one to the other, and the organisation is traveling from one to the other. The only difference is the promoter. In this case here, it's the Australian Grand Prix Corporation who I work for. In Singapore, I work for the Singapore Grand Prix organisation, and in Mexico, I work for the Mexican Grand Prix organisation. So that's the only difference. But lovely, lovely people from all over the world, and it's a very privileged position that I find myself in.
Mm-hmm. I wish you good luck with working this weekend. Many people are going to follow the race on track, next to the track, and also the people who didn't get a ticket.
Absolutely.
They will find a way to watch the race.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your time and giving us some behind-the-scenes insight.
That's great, Pauline. I appreciate your taking the time to ask us some questions, because it is nice to so other people get a bit of an idea of some of the background things that happen in Formula One. Absolutely.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.